welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Incredible privilege for me tonight to invite up to the stage somebody who I'm eternally thankful for, somebody who just through his obedience to Christ had an incredible impact on my life, because the camp, the first year's camp where I came to know Christ, first year's camp where I got saved, he organized and ministered on, and he was the chairperson and the leader of that camp. So I owe him an incredible eternal debt, and it's such a privilege that he's come all the way from East London to Johannesburg, and we stole him to come to Pretoria as well because he wasn't doing anything tonight. So I said, well, just come and preach twice. It's not much. So we'll buy him a stretcher when we're done. But they're busy with a relationship rescue and a relationship maintenance course, him and his wife in Johannesburg. Started, I think, this morning and carrying on to Tuesday night. I think they'll be finishing. And just such a privilege to have him ministering and sharing with us this evening. And he pastors our church in East London. And I got it wrong in the first service. I'll make sure I get this right. He's the regional overseer of our churches in the Western, not the Western Cape, the Southern Cape, the Eastern Cape, and KwaZulu-Natal. So it's like a huge geographical area. It's like, it's big, and he could say more about that later. But he's just a man with an incredible heart after Jesus. And it's so such a privilege to have him minister. So Andre, let's give him a big, big round as he comes and shares.
It's good to be here. Lekker in Pretoria. Jammer, bulle. Moet ek iets sê, mag ek sê, ek weet nie, is it legal to say something about the bulls? Well, I'm a stormer, province dude, so anyway, we suck. It's okay. That was, at least we had a good braai last night, so Heinrich, good company, made up for the shocking. Well, Sharks played well. Well done to the Sharks. Any Sharks in the house? That was well done. I must say, well done. It's good to be here, and it's awesome to see what God's doing in this house. We're just hearing so many good things about Shofar Pretoria, and yeah, it's awesome. I shared in the first service, I want to share this again. Heinrich and me, we've got a bit of a competition thing going on. You know, Pastor Heinrich from Joburg, we've got a competition thing going on. We wanting to see who can get closest to Jesus. One day in heaven, you know, there's a point system, for those that know, and there's a row system, so the more points you get, the more rows you move forward, and so we are still probably, you're probably 1,000 rows ahead of me, ching ching, there are points for me, you know, so, let's just play, okay, anyway, and so, we suspect there's a network marketing system as well. So if you get somebody to come to the Lord that is as dynamic as Pastor Philip, then everything he does is added to your account. So I can retire. At the way you guys are going, Philip's only going one way. It's going big. And it's going to see the kingdom come powerfully. So it's such an honor to be here and share with you guys this evening. I'm trusting that your faith will be stretched and increased this evening. We want to share some stories, a bit of our journey of what God has been doing in our lives, in our church in East London over the last, especially the last year and a half or so. And there's something that's God stirring in my heart, and I'm trusting He's going to stir more of it in your heart this evening. We had a great first service, and a few good testimonies, some feedback in terms of my background, a photo from my family. Most beautiful woman in the whole world for me. Every husband in the house will say the same about his wife. All the husbands say amen. There's a few. Good. It's my boy Vian. Love him so much. He's amazing. For those who haven't had kids yet, when you get that little one, it just affects you so incredibly. So my wife and I, we have actually been, just for giving some background as well, you can pray for us. We've been trusting the Lord for 3 years to get pregnant. We haven't been pregnant again, but we've had good practice. So praise Jesus. Make you all comfortable now. Okay. Okay. Let's move on. Sorry, tomorrow evening's the married. Sorry, I got confused. I'm preaching so much yet now. Tonight's going to rock because, I mean, there's nothing left of me. Jesus is going to do something here tonight. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready? Amen. Come on. Okay. So, I studied engineering. I grew up, my grandfather was a professor in surgery. So, he was the Tigerwick Medical Campus professor, and his brother was the founder of the medical campus and the academic institution there. I grew up very intellectual. My family, very intellectual. And so at the age of 18, I had an encounter with Jesus. I was religious. I went to church. But at the age of 18, I could say I met him. And he flipped my world around. It's really been awesome. So I grew up in a way that, you know, I was religious in a certain sense, but I was messing around. But then I met him. And I want to touch on that this evening, just in terms of having an encounter with Jesus, really meeting him. So what is this? Not a trick question. A cross. Okay. 2,000 years ago, this cross was a symbol of death. 2,000 years ago, it was a source of death. Thousands of people were crucified by the Romans on a cross. And then Jesus came and he turned this around. Today, it's a symbol of hope. A symbol of life, but more than that, I want to touch on this evening. This is a source of life. A source of life. Okay, so I'm going to explain to you how Jesus transformed that. But first, let's just talk about death. Death comes in different forms. Every 4 years, I experience death at the Cricket World Cup. I'm sure Philip suffers with me. I know Heinrich suffers with me. We suffer. We watch Cricket Info and we die. And we experience death and it's frustrating because we have this great team but it's not working. So that's a form of death. You know, you mourn for a week or two or three or so. But death comes in different forms. Maybe an animal has died, your dog dies. You know, for some of us who love our animals, that it really affects us. For others, maybe it's a family member, a parent that's died. Death, in a sense, just speaks to us. But death also comes in a form of, like, in a relational way. Maybe you've been in a relationship or a marriage, and the relationship has fallen apart. That can feel like a death as well. You know, you split up, you feel the pain. It's traumatic. But death can also come in a way in your physical body. Ever been sick? Really sick? Felt like you're dying sick? Anybody? Yeah. I just get half a cold. I'm miserable. Anybody that's been married will know we you all have half a sniffle, you know, but the women with the 10 kids, you know, you just can't be sick. You must just keep going. So amen for being a man. Come on. Yes. So we see death ministering to us on different levels, even physically. Maybe who's ever had a disappointment in studies? You walk out of that exam room, feels like somebody's died, or you go to look at that score and you're thinking, this is no. Or you go and you, have you ever met those people? You walk out and they tell you they flunked. It's horrible. You're thinking, okay, so it's not that bad for you. And then they commit and you fail almost, you know. Ever met any of those? Jesus help them, huh? It's wrong. But so anyway, so death comes in disappointments come in different forms. And there's a verse in... Read that for you. The shadow of death. Matthew 4, verse 16. It says, the people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death cast its shadow, a light has shined. So it says there, where death cast its shadow. I want to share a little bit of our journey with my wife and what she's been through especially. About 5 years ago, our boy was born. Sonika was 8 months pregnant when we moved to East London to plant the church there. And so it was massive changes, big step for us, stepping our trust in God, starting with 15, 20 people. And so we arrived beginning December, 24th of December, baby came, Vian came a little bit early, praise Jesus. I had one holiday, I was hoping another, it was supposed to be another 2 weeks. Yes, and then no. Baby was there. Anybody with babies? Okay, I'm wrong crowd again, sorry, that's tomorrow night. Okay, tomorrow night we're going to talk about babies, okay. But what happened is over about 6 months, my wife started to battle to sleep, and that went on for about 3 years. She couldn't sleep at night. She'd get into bed at 8:30, and at 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, she'd still be awake. And, you know, one night you can handle, but it's like going on to weeks and months, and it went like on and off. And so it was for us terrifying. For me as a husband, and my wife is in this state and almost in a way, on the way to depression, and it was traumatic. And so in that time, it came to a sort of a point around April last year. You know, I'm up in the night, I'm praying for, I'm trusting for a miracle. I mean, I've been fasting. Everything in the book, I'm doing it. Everything, you know, the 5-step plan to get your breakthrough, doing it, you know. And so she just, it's really really a massive battle for us as a family. And my wife also had a skin disease, psoriasis skin disease, and a few other things as well. But I came to a point that I had to acknowledge, I believe my God is great and powerful. But if I'm honest, I'm not seeing it. Have you ever experienced that? I believe that He is great and powerful. I believe He's the healer. I believe nothing is impossible for my God. But I came to a point that I realized I'm not experiencing it. And so I remember I called our leaders together of the church, all the small group facilitators, called them together, and I made an announcement to them. Guys, we're going to pursue the power of God. For the sake of my wife, we're going to pursue the fullness of God. And I realized in that time when we were looking out in our own pain and confusion and battles, I realized I started seeing all the other people in church who's also battling, whether insomnia or disease or depression or whatever it might be. I was amazed how many people were battling with different things, and it was messing up their lives. They were not living victorious Christian lives. And so I made this announcement. I've never in my life been as determined as I was when I made that announcement. I was like, guys, I don't care what anybody thinks, but I realized we have not been pursuing the fullness of God, and that's changing tonight. And then a week or two later, I preached my first message on the power of God, and then our God heals. And then the Monday afternoon, one of the ladies in church, she went jogging, and she ran over the road, and a car hit her. And she rolled over the bonnet of the vehicle, fell down on the other side. Nothing was broken, but she was in significant pain, couldn't go to work the next day. I saw her, that was the Monday afternoon. The Tuesday afternoon, she came to see me for a counseling thing. And I remember her walking. She came in at our gate, and she was just walking to me, and she was like walking like a 90-year-old, like this. The whole side of her body was in significant pain, couldn't touch this area of her body, couldn't give her a hug. And so that was a Tuesday afternoon. Then later that evening, two people from the church went to pray for her because they were going on a hike the weekend. So she needs to be ready. We're going on a hike. Come on. You know, how's that for motivation? So they prayed for her, and she experienced the power and the presence of God. she fell down on the floor and they heard a noise in her hip, like something was put in place or something. But this noise, she got up and all the pain was gone. All the pain was gone. The bruising was still there, and as you could see it, next morning, the Wednesday morning when she got up, there was no bruising. Bruising gone. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Man, was I excited. I preached. It worked. We went for it. We were telling that story for months. Everywhere. Everywhere. Telling everybody, Jesus heals. I told the Lord, God, I'm going to run with this one. Just, I have this one. You know, at this time, I was in the ministry for about, say, 10 years. In that period, I've been a Christian for 15 years or so. I would have said, I would maybe have experienced one or two healings, physical healings in that period of time, and then still it's debatable if it was a real healing. You know, something we want to see it. It's a healing, but we're not sure. But we still want to believe it. And so the first time I could honestly say, this is a genuine miracle from God. Genuine, undeniable. I wrote that down in my book. So that was the first 10 years I didn't see almost anything. Then last year, I think we had about 4 healings, and God really touched my wife as well. And then beginning this year, first 2 months, February, March, and April, we had 87 people physically healed in our church. And I want to share with you a little bit about that journey, and we want to pray for people this evening for, just really want to bless you. Okay, so we want to read that verse again. The people who sat in darkness have seen a great light. This is an Old Testament prophecy. It was saying there's going to be a time people are going to be sitting in darkness, but then they will see a great light. And for those who lived in the land where death casts its shadow, a light has shined. And so death casts its shadow upon our lives in different areas. If you looked at your shadow, it follows you all the time. A shadow always reminds us of death. Death is coming at some stage, physical, final death. But for the believer, it's not final. We live on. But there's a shadow of death. In many of our lives, there are areas of death. Relationally, physically, maybe spiritually, emotionally. And I want to give you good news this evening. That the light of God is shining. The light of God is shining. There's a light shining. That light is Jesus. And that light is shining. And that shadow of death upon your life, in the name of Jesus, it can go. It can disappear. You can be set free. Amen. Hallelujah. So death is this continual reminder, the shadow that reminds us. Now, my grandfather, as I said, was a professor in surgery. And he was an ardent atheist. He didn't believe in Jesus. He believed science has now proven that there is no God. And so he would, at all of our family gatherings, there would always be fights about religion. You know, they would always have a fight about something, about religion. Is there God, not a God? And then this thing happened. My grandfather was driving from work home. As he was driving, he experienced symptoms in his body of a heart attack. And he, as being a medical professional, he knew, okay, this feels like a heart attack. So he turned around and he drove straight to the emergency ward and went in there. And they all knew him. And they put them in one of the rooms there. They put all the sensors on him. He was reading his book. It was just chilling. Nothing was happening. It was just chilling. And then suddenly, the doctors, nursing staff storm into the room and they press him down or something. My dad told me the story. Pressing him down on the tail or whatever, and they get out these things that they shock you with, these defibrillators. Okay? Medical people, you know, defibrillators. Okay? So they shocked him to death. Because the sensor fell off. He wasn't having a heart attack. They just seemed to be having a heart attack, but he didn't have a heart attack or something like that. They shocked him and he died. Shocking. Pun intended. Shocking. But this is where it's powerful. My grandfather says suddenly he was sitting against the ceiling of this room. looking down upon his body and the doctors, nursing staff working on his body. His spirit left his body and he was sitting against the roof and he was watching on what is happening on the table. And then along the way, they shocked him again and his spirit returned. Heart started to beat again and his spirit returned to his body. My grandfather changed his story. He was no longer an ardent atheist. He was, so I'm not really knowing the way, but there's more. There's more. And he actually made a little piece of wood. He was a brilliant woodwork artist guy, and he would make this wood thingy of what he saw, of the picture of his body lying on this table. He made an image of that, what he saw, and that was put in his house. What's the point? It's called a near-death experience, a NDE. The point is, he was someone with an argument. He's read all the books, but why there is no God and science is disproven, etc., etc. And then what happened? He had an encounter. He changed everything. You see, a man with an encounter is never at the mercy of a man with an argument. And a man with an argument is just one encounter away from changing his story. When you encounter Jesus, it just changes your life. And so that's what happened to my grandfather. They say they've done some studies. They say there are millions of NDEs happening. I think all of them in America, probably. It's like all the aliens go to America, all the NDEs on America. But they've done all these studies, and they've found that multitudes of people are having NDEs. And so they do scientific studies. At certain hospitals, they would put lettering on the roof of the hospital, like certain words. And then when somebody dies and comes back, then they would ask them, well, what did you experience? And they'd say, well, I was like floating. And I went through the roof, and I saw these letters on the roof written there. And then their spirit would come back, and they would tell of what was happening in the theaters. They would tell of what the doctors were saying to the nurses, and they couldn't have. They were saying no brain activity. And so if you actually go look at the science, you go look at what the science say, the objective experimentation and listening to what's happened, it actually gives evidence to Scripture, to the existence of God. And also they find 98% of the time people either have a heaven experience or a hell experience of the people experiencing NDEs, which I think is profound. Praise God. Okay, so anyway, so death, in this case, a near-death experience can be an encounter for people. Many people share how their lives have been transformed after having a near-death experience. So death can be eternal death. What is eternal death? Eternal death is if you die in your sin without knowing Jesus Christ, you will be separated from God forever. That's eternal death. Then you can have soul death or internal death, or let me, on the inside. And that could be, you know, being lonely, being disappointed, offended, being bitter in life. You can actually have death in your soul. You can be just full of anxiety, full of fear, full of doubts, full of self-hatred. I despised myself as a young man. 18 years old, 17 years old, before I came to Christ, I absolutely despised myself. Sundays, I hated Sundays. I had to do homework on Sundays. It's terrible. But I remember that Sundays were like depression days. So I despised myself. I believed all these lies about myself. I could honestly say I experienced death on every level, in a sense, on the inside and also spiritually, eternally. So that's so you could have death on the inside, but then you can also have death on the outside. You could be sick. Your body could become like a prison of torment to you when you experience sickness, disease that torments you. I so often meet people with that. So we're going to pray for people this evening to receive healing on each of these levels. Okay, so Jesus, he conquered death. He conquered death. There's no one like him. Now the cross symbolized death, and it was a terrible death. As bad as it got, the Romans would use the crucifying method of bringing fear upon the nations. That's how they ruled. You rebel, we will crucify you in your thousands. It was a known method of torture. It was everybody knew at that time about the cross. It was a symbol of death. But it was also a source of death. People would literally die on this. But for you and me, when we look at this, if you're a believer, we see something else. We see hope. We see life. And that's what Jesus came to do. There's never been anyone like Jesus. I don't know where you are at this evening. Maybe you battle in your head about the reality of Christ, of the existence of Jesus. But if you go read the first four books of the New Testament, it is eyewitness evidence of what people... They saw Jesus doing this. They saw him raise the dead. They saw him heal the sick. They saw him do miracles. They saw him feed multitudes. They saw him loving people and forgiving sin. They saw it and they wrote it down. It's not mythological. It's not just a nice story. It's eyewitness. It's powerful. There's never been anyone like Jesus. What did he come to do? What did he come to do? What was his mission? If you want to sum it up, what did Jesus come to do? He opposed death on every possible level. He forgave sin. How is that opposing death? You see, sin always causes something to die. Sin always causes something to die. I can prove it to you. If you are married and you commit adultery, you are unfaithful to your partner. What is the result? Is adultery sin? Yes, it is. How do we know? It destroys that relationship. It destroys your own heart and it destroys the relationship. So Jesus came to forgive sin because sin causes death. Jesus came to heal sicknesses because it was death in the bodies of people, physical bodies. There was death at work in them. A woman with a flow of blood for 10 plus years. She spent all her money, everything she has. She's desperate. She wants to be healed. She hears about this miracle man. And she presses through the crowd just to touch. She said, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She touches him. Jesus. Jesus stops and says, whoa, power flowed out of me, virtue went out of me. Who touched me? There were scores of people touching him. But there was one woman that touched him in a different way. A woman with faith. A woman with an expectation. She touched him. If I can just touch him, I will be healed. And she was. The flow of blood was gone. Amazing. In the same book of Mark, just later on. It's a phenomenal. You would find Jesus going into a town. And you'd find the people saying, can we bring the sick? Because we know that if they can just touch you, they will be healed. It says everyone that touched Jesus was healed. He didn't even pray. He didn't even pray. They just touched him and they were healed. Because life coursed through his veins. He brought life. Jesus came to oppose death on every level. He came to Peter and said, Peter, you're no longer Simon. You're no longer a wussy guy. You're a rock. So he came to bring order on the inside of him. I'm going to change your identity. You're a new man, Peter. Jesus came to bring life on every level. Hallelujah. And not only 2,000 years ago, he is still doing it. And so he completed his victory over death. He completed it how? By dying on that cross. He overcame death itself, eternal death. He overcame it. And he rose after 3 days. And he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Just before he raised Lazarus from the dead. I am the resurrection and the life. I've come to bring life. I've come to bring life on every level. Okay, so let's look at this verse. In Numbers 21, to give you background, it's an account from the Old Testament, from the book of Numbers. The Israelites were in the wilderness. They were on their 40 years in the circle in the wilderness. They rebelled against God. They complained about everything. And then because of their sin, death came. And so snakes were sent. Because of their sin, judgment came. And many venomous snakes were sent into the camp because of their sin. You see, sin always causes something to die. It's like just that's how it is. And so the people were dying in their multitudes as these snakes would bite them. And so they were obviously terrified, freaked out, crying out to Moses, "What must we do?" And Moses then praying, "God, what must I do?" And then God says, "Make a bronze serpent, put it on a pole." And then it says there, so Moses made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. And so it was, if a serpent had bitten anyone, when he looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. Say, he lived. He lived. Whoever looked at the bronze serpent lived. Why is this profound? What was killing them? The snakes was killing them. What did God do? He said, make a symbol of the snake. Put it on a pole. And whoever looks to the symbol of death, they will receive life. God did a miracle there because he was pointing to the cross where he's saying the same thing's going to happen in the future. I'm going to take a symbol of death, actually a source of death. I'm going to transform it into a symbol of life and hope. And more than that, it's going to become a source of life to whosoever would look upon him, Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross. So look at the next verse. John 3:14-16, where Jesus now actually explains to them. And he says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him, whoever looks to him, should not perish, should not die, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not die, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God saw there is rampant death across the world. Mankind, they are dying, not just spiritually. They're dying physically. They're dying emotionally, relationally. There is death. They are in the shadow of death. But a light has shined. A light, a glorious light has shined. If he is lifted up, he will come and do this miracle. He will come and do this glorious miracle. Whoever looks to him will be saved. So there's three areas I want to touch on. I want to pray for people this evening for those areas. But in Romans 10:13, it gives the summary. For whoever, let's read this together. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whoever, meaning anyone. It's not for the special, the rich. It's the anyone. So for who is it? Is it for you? It is. It's for me. It's for anyone who's willing to call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word saved is more than just spiritual life, eternal life. It actually speaks of physical healing and deliverance and healing in the soul. It encapsulates the complete person. It's not just a little bit. It is the whole deal. The whole deal. So God wants to bring life in the different parts of our beings. So the first area is, as I said, spirit life. 1 Corinthians 15:54-57. I'm going to share a few stories in a moment. I just want to give you a theological foundation. Jesus brings life to our spirit. It says, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, that's in heaven, you get a new body. No fat. Come on. I'm sure for some of us, good news. Transform into bodies that will never die. You will look your best ever. The scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Death is swallowed up. That's what Jesus did on the cross. Death is swallowed up in victory. Jesus was hanging on the cross. The devil was there. Evil was all over the place. They were thinking, yes, we have him now. And so the death angel, I can just imagine the death angel would stand there and look at Jesus and saying, I've come for you. Thinking they've won. Thinking they've got them now. And I can just imagine Jesus hanging on that cross saying, it is finished. And then grabbing death at the throat, bringing him into himself, giving him the hug of life. The hug of life, like a good wrestling match. You thought you got me? Come here. I got you. Let's die. And let's be risen after 3 days. I can just imagine. The devil thought he was winning. Do you know that all the bad parts of your life, every evil that's ever come across your path, the devil meant it for destruction. Jesus is laughing. Psalm 2, it says, God laughs in the heavens, looking at what evil is doing. He laughs. I got you again. You're working. You brought this for death. I'm going to turn this around for life. I'm going to turn this around. As with the cross, it was the source of death, the symbol of death. So you and I have these symbols of death in our lives, disappointments, disease. God is saying, come on, I'm going to turn it around into your symbol of life. But more than that, I'm going to turn it around and let it become your source of life. What do I mean with that? It's like a testimony. What's a testimony? When I share with you, the Lord healed my wife from insomnia. What does it mean to you? You can say, he's just boasting. No, I'm not. I'm declaring who God is. He's the God who heals insomnia. And more than that, I'm extending an invitation to you to experience the same and more. Every testimony creates a prophetic environment where the same miracle can happen again. Every testimony is an invitation for you and me to say, that's for me as well. They heard the woman with a flow of blood touched Jesus and she was healed. So what did multitudes do? Let's touch Jesus. This rocks. Come on. Every testimony is an invitation. It's not arrogance. It's not boasting in a negative way. It's giving glory to God and it's inviting you to experience the same. So in our church now, we celebrate everything. Half a miracle. Yes. Because I know half a miracle can become a full miracle if I celebrate the half a miracle. But so often we only want to celebrate when the hand grows back or whatever. Celebrate the little bit. Celebrate the little bit that God is doing. So Jesus has overcome death to give you life and to take all the death in your life and to turn it around to become a symbol of life and a source of life. Do you believe it's possible? The cross. That is what that means. It means that I will take the worst in your life. That thing that you said, it is my shame. It is my guilt. It is my accusation. It is my death. It is my end. Jesus saying, give it to me and I'll turn it into a source of life. Give it to me. It will become your testimony that releases life to others. That is the power of the cross. That is the power of life. Jesus overcame death so that you and I can have the fullness of life. Hallelujah. Next time something bad happens, how should you respond? Punch air, yes! This will be my next source of life. It's been happening in our church. People would come to me and say, there's somebody sick here. Let's pray for them. Come on. Let's pray for them. You see, that's our God is so powerful. He's so powerful and amazing and wise. He even uses the devil's schemes against him. But unfortunately, you and I don't look with the eyes of faith. So we go into depression and negativity and hopelessness and despair. And Jesus saying, give it to me and I'll turn it around. I'll turn it around. For you. Okay, so that's the first one, the spirit life. He gives life for eternity. Second one is physical life. Matthew 6, verse 10. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done. Let's read that together. That's a good one to read. Okay, let's do that. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And there's been books written about this verse, and it's amazing. I've never looked at it like this, but it's so been ministering to my heart. We are called to pray, let it be on earth as it is in heaven. Now, what is in heaven? Is there any sickness in heaven? Zip. Nothing. There's no sickness in heaven. There's no lack in heaven. There's no evil in heaven. Jesus saying, guys, pray, let heaven come to earth so that sickness will give way, so that depression will give way, so that evil will give way. Heaven on earth. That's beautiful. I love that. I'm sure many of you have heard that before, but that is, for me, such a picture of what God has called us to be. Wherever we go, bring heaven. Bring life. Wherever we go, bring peace. Wherever we go, bring that abundance. There's a lady in our church. Her name is Rosie. She had 8 miscarriages. 8 miscarriages. And she would often carry them for quite some time before she would miscarry. So she went through severe depression and anger towards God. And so she went on to antidepressants for 5 years. Been on it for 5 years. She had, because of all the trauma, she had a chemical imbalance in her physical makeup. It's not spiritual, it's physical. And so last year sometime, she went off the pills. She says within 2 weeks, she was completely suicidal, completely lost it within 2 weeks because she let go of the pills. Then earlier this year, the first person that was touched by God of the 87 that I know of, we were in a Foundation for a Liberty seminar, and she was praying with her husband, and then she says, I told people to pray together, and as she was praying, she felt like a searing, hot rod being stuck into her brain, spiritually speaking now. Something was like stuck into her brain, but it was like searingly hot. She said it was like painful. And then after a while, it subsided, and she forgot about it. 2 months later, she realized, I haven't taken any pills for 2 months. I'm healed. She's healed. From February this year to now, the Lord touched her and healed her. Praise God. Jesus heals depression. Her depression, her shame about the 8 miscarriages, the 8 losses of life, the death upon her soul and being has now become her symbol of life. And her source of life. You see, when I share about her healing from depression, it opens the door for you to receive it for you. If you're battling with depression, it opens the door. It releases faith. It releases grace so that you can receive it as well. Hallelujah. And earlier this year, we went to India, went to Mumbai. And we had two different services. And the morning service, we were in a middle-class sort of Indian church. And then, I don't put it on yet. We were in the morning in a middle-class church that people with lots of means. And man, was a battle, a wrestle to get through. The evening, we were in a poor church. So like a real Jesus meeting, small little venue. Maybe 70 or 80 people could fit in. But in the end, it was like 50% of them were Hindu, and they were streaming out into the streets, trying to hear what's going on and what's happening, etc. And so I preached the gospel, preached about Jesus. And then we said, well, now we're going to pray for people to be healed. So we made like 5 different rows, and the people came to queue. And so I prayed for the first guy who was in a wheelchair. Nothing happened. Nothing. Nothing. You know, You pray for the second one, nothing. And then you start praying that pastors know the prayers, huh? Jesus, where are you? And then the third person I prayed for was this little boy. 8 years old. Born mute. Never spoken in his life. His mom was standing next to him telling me the story. But when I saw him, the compassion of Jesus just flooded my heart. It's like, because I'm a boy of almost five. And like, Jesus, touched my heart. So I prayed for him. As I was looking into his eyes, he was just standing, no smile, just blank stare. His eyes were like dark. And I prayed for him. I could see his eyes change. The darkness left. And then he started to speak. And I told him, say Yesu. Which means Jesus. Say Yesu. And then after a few tries, he said Yesu. And then I said, say Alleluia. And we tried that a few times. And then he said, Alleluia. I have it on video. It's awesome. I have it on video. We were howling with excitement. He was smiling. Look at that smile. His mom, tears running down her face. It was so special to see the God of the Bible, the one who healed the mute, there, touching him. And then everyone we prayed from there was healed and touched by God. Prayed for his mom and she was healed of intestinal problems. The pain just disappeared. Prayed for another lady that was healed. Prayed for a lady who had skin disease on her hands and feet. Prayed for her. And then we asked her, what's happening? What are you feeling? What are you experiencing? And then she told the translator, somebody's touching my feet. There was no one touching her feet. God was touching her feet. So blessed me. God was in the house. We prayed for everywhere. All the team members were shouting and clapping hands as people were being healed of different things. Ears were opened and eyes were touched. We prayed on late at night and had to move out of the venue, praying in the streets for people. And they would just say every time we pray for them, they would tell the translator when we ask them, what are you feeling? Fire. Feeling the fire. What's the fire? The fire is the presence of God. It represents the presence of God. That evening, Jesus rocked my world. Because I could say honestly, for the first time in my life, I was seeing the God of the Bible manifest. The Word become flesh. The Word become flesh. And I know I've been praying and I'm saying, that evening afterwards, I was like amazed. And I was like, God, this is beautiful. And then God whispered, you ain't seen nothing yet. And God is saying, pursue my fullness. Because there are people battling and suffering and in pain. And I've come to address death in their lives. Do you want to see the Word become flesh? The only way that you will is if you and I come to a point in our lives that we can no longer live without the fullness of God in our lives. But you see, it's so easy to do church and life in a way that we don't need His fullness. And you come to the end of yourself. And in my case, it was with my wife. I had to, for the sake of my family, I had to say, Jesus. Sometimes God will push us, allow something to, okay, let's do this. Jesus wants to heal us this evening. Amen. Jesus wants to set us free. And we have seen that with some types of healings, for instance, we see people sharing about a knee, and then suddenly a knee will be healed in the audience as well. So God is in there. And then just the last one, soul life. Soul life. So God brings life, spiritual life, eternal life. Then He brings physical life where He addresses death, and then soul. Soul life. And I just want to share one story on this. I don't know who's heard Hetty Britz's story. Okay, but I'm going to share with one of the ladies in church with us. There's a lady who had she was molested by her grandfather for 10 years, from the age of 5 till the age of 15. And I think he then died, I'm not sure. Now, if you would think about it, you'd think, now, that woman, lady's life must be destroyed. How can you survive emotionally in your soul life? How can you survive that type of abuse from someone that should be protecting you and covering you? And the amazing thing is, she didn't know Jesus, and then she became a Christian as a student. She gave her life to Jesus, and then she shared in our church. She's now happily married, baby on the way, wonderful marriage, wonderful, everything's really going well with them. She shared in our church, Jesus took her death. Jesus took that pain, that 10 years of pain, and he somehow transformed it. She told us, if I could choose again, I would want that to happen. She says she has no unforgiveness in her heart. She says she, when she thinks about her grandfather, she loves him. And she says God used her pain to do something beautiful in her life. Was it of God? No. It was of the devil. Did Jesus turn it around? Absolutely. This source of death for her, the source of death for her has now become the source of life. It has now become her testimony and is bringing hope and life to others. And God can do the same in your life. You are not a victim. None of us are victims. No one has the power to make us choose anything. They can do whatever they want to do to us. We still have the choice to say, I forgive you. And praise Jesus, this is going to be for his glory. You have the power by his ability to do so. You are not a victim. Amen. Amen. So Jesus has come to bring life to where there is death. And we're going to pray now. And I saw this picture this morning. I saw a picture of a fountain. I saw a picture of a fountain. I believe this is for you. Your death will become life. It will become a fountain of life. It's going to bring life to others. It's going to bring life to others. Amen. Let's say that. My death will become a source of life for others. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Please stand with me. We're going to pray. And we want to pray for you this evening. I want to really build up your faith. Do you believe that God is good? This is profound, but he's always good. And he's always doing good. If you are a believer here this evening, you are a child of the King. And you can declare, as Jesus did, just before he raised Lazarus from the dead, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. You can do the same. You can declare, God, I know that when I pray, things happen. God, I know that when I speak, be healed, it shall be, because I'm your son and you always hear me. It is impossible for me to speak words of life and it not to have a powerful effect on somebody's life. You must declare that over your life. You must believe. You must come to a point when you say, God, I don't only believe you can. I believe you will. I believe you will. Because you have overcome death on the cross. Hallelujah. I just want to pray for us. Let's close our eyes. Father, we lift you up. Thank you, Lord, for the gift of faith in this house, Lord. That the word may become flesh. These signs will follow those who believe. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. For those who believe in me, the same works they will do and greater. Thank you, God, that this is our inheritance. To bring life wherever we go, to be fountains of life, fountains of hope, to bring hope to the nations of the world. And I pray, God, for each person here, it would be so. Death becomes a source of life. Hallelujah. Just as our eyes are closed, just want to, three groups of people I want to touch. If you're here this evening and you've never had an encounter with Jesus Christ, you can't say, I've met him. You can't say that I've met him. He's not rocked your world. If he hasn't rocked your world, you have not met him. If you're here this evening and you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, would you just quickly raise your hand? Just as a sign to God. Anybody? Thank you for those hands. Maybe you're here this evening and you've backslidden. You've met Christ once, but you've really gone astray. You want to come back to the Word become flesh, to the fullness of Christ. If that's you, just quickly raise your hand. Thank you. 7 or 8 people. Hallelujah. Jesus, we bless your name. Just another opportunity. Anybody else in that category? You've drifted away from Jesus. If you haven't raised your hand yet, just raise it. Okay, thank you. Hallelujah. Okay, now you can look at me. We're going to just do the other two groups quickly. You have some physical sickness in your body. Quickly raise your hand. Okay. And then third group, there are areas of your life, there was death, there was disappointment, and it's still affecting you. It's like that corpse is attached to you. You're dragging that corpse with you through life. And you need God to set you free and heal you in your soul area. If that's you, just quickly raise your hand. Okay. Praise God. Okay, so we're going to do three groups. On my left, if you can come forward for soul, in that soul area, you're dragging that corpse with you, then come and stand on my left. If you, physical healing, come and stand on my right-hand side, your left. And then if you have backslidden, you need to come back to the Lord, just come and stand here in the middle. There's lots of people, so just come forward. And just make a bit of space and just move across. And then the facilitators can also come. Jesus is here this evening. Jesus is here this evening. In the first service, we had two people testify of being healed. The one person had a back injury when they were in grade 9. And they're like at least a student now. And they were instantly healed. The pain disappeared from their backs. Another lady was in a car accident last week, Sunday. She couldn't move a neck like this. And she couldn't do this without pain. And she couldn't move a knee without pain. And that was all healed in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. So we're trusting that now we're going to be praying for you. Let's first just do a corporate prayer for all of us. And then my challenge is for you guys, especially in terms of the physical area. Okay, we're going to get them out. Let's first just pray together. I want to pray with these precious people as well. We have some facilitators here. Yeah, just stand a little bit forward. Thanks. Just for a renewal commitment to the Lord, just come a little bit forward. Okay, let's all pray together just as a corporate prayer. And it's awesome to... There's something that happens when you move from there to here. It's an action of faith. You activate your faith and heaven is already responding because you're saying, God, I'm coming. This is my little bit of faith and I'm coming. God, we bless your name. Just pray the following prayer, all of us together. And just say, Father God, thank you. You love us so much. You love me so much. Thank you, Jesus, that you overcame death at the cross. You overcame eternal death. you overcame physical death. And you overcame soul death. And Lord, right now, I declare, I want to encounter you. I want to surrender my life to you. I surrender. Thank you, Jesus. That those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, healed, delivered. And I receive life right now. Holy Spirit, welcome. Lord Jesus, touch me now. Save me. I pray this in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Just want to pray for you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you for your presence here. God, I ask for a revival in our hearts. God, I ask for a revival, an awakening in every heart here, Lord. That we may say, I've seen him. I've met him. I've encountered him. So Holy Spirit, welcome. Presence of God, welcome. Flood this place. Flood our hearts. Flood our minds. That we may say it's the presence of God here. It's the fire of God here. God, you're good. You're always good. You died so that we could live. So Lord, right now we release life over each person here. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's sing that song. Let's just sing it as a step of faith.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming his glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.